Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
Here's a video of your future. If some people at the World Economic Forum get their way, they say you'll own nothing and be happy about it. Energy will be green, rationed, and expensive, and travel will be restricted. Even your diet will be controlled, and currency will be digital. This left-wing dystopian dream is called the Great Reset, and you're supposed to be excited about it.
Fundamentally, this is a radical and complete transformation of everything that we do in our society. To control people's behaviors, to control businesses, and to move society in the direction that you want to move it, it will change the way businesses are evaluated. It'll coerce businesses to pursue left-wing causes.
The Great Reset was unveiled at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where many of the world's most powerful people go to offer solutions to the world's problems. And the World Economic Forum sees the coronavirus pandemic as a historic opportunity to change the way the world operates. Their solution is essentially global socialism. Think of the Green New Deal combined with the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, and throw in something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, in which technology is supposed to radically change the way we live and work. Klaus Schwab is the founder of the World Economic Forum.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
You'd be amazed by how many world leaders are on board with this globalist plan, even people that claim to be conservative. This is worse than Nazism. This is worse than communism. This is worse than fascism. These guys are planning on taking over the whole world.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. Kia ora and good morning to all breeders out there across Auckland's greater region and further out within the teeming biosphere of our sacred planet. Where all animals, trees, plankton, and humans share the one breath as of this moment. We are immersed in momentous times, all of us, and we are unknowing of the outcome. So please, have your pen and paper ready, and especially your mobile phone. I encourage you to get it and text all your friends 104.6 FM. Get it on the radio now. Just past 8 a.m. So, this is Tim, sincerely wishing you well as we revitalize ourselves for the future that we didn't plan on, but intuitively we knew could come to us in one way or another. We are the 5% of this planet's awakening population that could be far more than 7% or even 10% of people engaged in the Great Awakening. With 7.8 billion souls sharing the invisible breath during this time, we must remember that we have been gifted a free body to live, and I trust, prosper and experience moments of joy, which I must say is our birthright. As you very well know, we as a humanity are realizing that we have to come together in unity consciousness to create a new way of breaking out of the hypnosis that mainstream media has used to capture our mind, close down our heart, and in some clever ways, control our very thought process. This imperative for us at this moment, on this magnificent planet we call home, is to realize that we are all surrounded in possibilities. Yes, possibilities, and that we must start with our inner self and make sure that every thought and every word stated and every action we take is going to make us, at heart, a more honest, courageous and forthright human being that at soul level resonates with service to the greater good. Service to self in these times is not an option. Yes, I know many of us are even challenged by our family members. So if you find yourself at odds with your family, still keep your love strong for them and our neighbours in the neighbourhood and community that we live in. Education and sharing of empowering knowledge is more than important. It is imperative. It is imperative. If we are to gain a foothold in the narrative that has been censored by mainstream media and has kept our citizens in the dark. Note that there is a chance that Green Planet FM could find itself deplatformed and taken down, like the hundreds of thousands overseas, due to the controlling high-tech corporates in Silicon Valley and beyond. Wanting to interrupt our narrative that questions not only their ethics and motives, but also why are they stifling free speech? Fortunately, coming from New Zealand, where free speech is a foundation stone of our country, and as long as it is not slanderous and obscene or extols acts of violence, GreenPlanetFM.com will always be able to broadcast. As a voluntary radio program, even as in the case of an interview recently with Linda Wharton, a natural healer here in Auckland, being taken down and deleted by YouTube. We trust that we will continue to freely express ourselves as we work to emancipate humanity from the malaise that has fallen over a large percentage of our world. However, I wish to draw your attention as we explore the deeper implications of losing the importance of our freedoms. And I want to reiterate that there is a planetary power struggle happening that has been going 24/7, 365 days, silently in the background, as certain power players wield their influence over an unsuspecting humanity who have been doing their best just to survive, have a family, work to finance themselves and have time off for rest and recreation and learn what it is to be human. And I trust the purpose of existence. This was covered to a degree by last week's excellent interview on GreenPlanetFM.com of Joe Rafici, who covered many of the main points of this. This power game is known by those like myself who have been quietly researching the Pyramid of Power for 45 years, a structure that basically the elite occupy, and at all levels of power, from the apex at the top to virtually the bottom of this pyramid. I give you one guess as to where we are in the structure. Yes, the great mass of humanity, the 90% plus, we ordinary citizens are at the bottom, holding up this multi-layered, bloated structure that we are financially indebted to and that siphons off money from us to feed them further up the system. However, their corrupted system is coming apart. It can no longer sustain them for much longer because we have come to a limit of growth. We have reached multiple tipping points, be it environmental, economic, and societal. Plus, we are waking up to their game. As you very well intuit, our whole way of life within the biosphere is now under threat. And I ask you, what country on earth has a government of integrity and is loved by its people? This is where we have come to as a humanity. Our elected representatives of all political parties have run away with their own agenda and in many ways, not listening to us, gone rogue. With a population of 7.8 billion souls, yes, souls, we have become too many for them to control. And wait for it, there are too many of us awakening at the same time as more and more conscious researchers and activists are calling out truthfully that COVID has been deployed. Yes, that's right. Deployed to take down the global public to more manageable numbers. The horror is that we are learning that there's a depopulation agenda being actively pushed. go and do a search on the Georgia Standing Stones. In this case, I give you permission to use Google. Why are the governments, especially in the Western Hemisphere, in lockstep in wanting all of us, including children, to be vaccinated before the year is out? Yet, the vaccination is actually the greater problem by far, because it is not a vaccination, but an injection. Now, as you listen to me, dear listeners, I am communicating to you today from my heart. There is no anger being transmitted. Please note this. What I'm asking New Zealanders is this. How many babies have had COVID? How many infants? How many children? How many teenagers and 20-somethings? These apparently are not vulnerable groups and have never been. The vulnerable people are those my age in their 70s, 80s and 90s who have immune systems that are tired due to possibly eating factory or industrial food and drinking chlorinated and quite possibly fluoridated water with little sunshine and little to not enough exercise. No wonder the elderly are more susceptible. But to get to the point, it's a straight-out fact that ivermectin is a proven safe alternative that is exceptionally cheap, as it is not patented and cannot be turned into a cash cow for any corporation. And note, in the Dominican Republic, just recently, 6,000 people were treated with ivermectin. But as MSM does not know where the Dominican Republic is, they ignore this struggling but resourceful island nation in the Caribbean. However, there's also hydroxychloroquine and zinc as well, that the New Zealand government, for some unknown reason, stopped it being sold on the 24th of March 2020, just 4 days before our country-wide total lockdown. What a coincidence. Do you see how we are being constantly duped? However, we are having courageous doctors of conscience from many, many countries coming together and speaking out about this COVID narrative. And even here in New Zealand, warm-hearted, conscious doctors, around 60 of them, have put out an SOS to the government and people calling for an immediate halt to all injections, but have been ignored. Tell me, listeners, would 60 doctors with so much to lose know far more about human health than opportunistic career politicians? Do you hear this call by these astute and brave doctors? We have to stop these injections because it's not a vaccine, as vaccines are supposed to have part of the disease in it that we are inoculating for. Note that as of today, COVID has not been isolated. I repeat, not even isolated, so that we have an injection of RNA and other adjuvants that, due to secrecy and patents that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have locked away, we are not allowed to know. So here we have a so-called global pandemic that could wipe out hundreds of millions, if not far more, and the US government has given multiple billions of dollars to big pharma corporations to manufacture vaccines, and on top of this, allowing these corporations to ride the pig's back and make many billions more. Tell me the name of a compassionate corporation. There are none. They do not exist. They're here to extract anything out of everything with virtually zero social conscience. However, because American taxpayers paid for this vaccine, why should it be patented? But the secret is that the corporations do not want humanity to know what's in the injection, that in fact there is graphene oxide in it, plus other adjuvants. What is an adjuvant? That's a question you can ask Monsanto with their glyphosate and secret adjuvants. But, back on track, because honest doctors will see that the contents of this injection is a poison. And this was found in Spain when researchers were able to obtain a good number of vials and using high-powered microscopes were able to ascertain that the contents were indeed graphene oxide, a known poison. Meanwhile, mainstream media, go into full gear practicing damage control, doing their best to smother the story. Here in New Zealand, MedSafe, a government department, has asked of Pfizer 58 questions, even to what's in the so-called vaccine, and that the injection is still in its trial period, but won't be finalised until 2023. And yet it usually takes about 7 years to establish safety. And now MedSafe has rolled over, even though the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in the USA, has not given the all clear as to the safety of this insertion of molecules, of what we know nothing about, into the sacredness of our bodies. So, dear listeners, regrettably, those who have believed the big pharma propaganda that's been amplified by mainstream media, with politicians singing in chorus, that those who have taken the shot are now an experiment. Sadly, a walking and sleeping experiment that no one on this planet knows what will be the outcome. Now, I want to play you an interview of a South African doctor, Dr. Charles Hofer, who has been practicing medicine for 28 years in the small rural town of Lytton in British Columbia, Canada, and he has administered about 900 doses of the Moderna experimental RRNA injection and is now coming forward to warn as many people as he can about the severe reactions he's observed in his patients, including death. This resulted in his being fired from his job at the local hospital. And naturally, as any doctor who follows the Hippocratic Oath would do, he stopped and realized, though too late, what he had done and is now exposing what he has found out because he cares and has a conscience. The Hippocratic Oath from Hippocrates in Greece. First, do no harm.
When the COVID vaccine is injected into your arm, we now know that only 25% of it actually stays in your arm. And the other 75% is literally collected by your lymphatic system and fed into your circulation. So these little packages of messenger RNA, and by the way, in a single dose of a Moderna vaccine, there are 40 trillion messenger RNA molecule, 40 trillion that are injected into your arm. So 3/4 of these are taken, connected by the lymphatics. They go into your bloodstream in these little packages that are designed to be absorbed into a cell. But obviously when something's in your circulation, the only cells that they're going to get absorbed into is the cells around your blood vessels. And the place where absorption happens is in the capillary networks. In other words, these are the tiniest vessels where the blood slows right down. These are tiny, tiny vessels. So these little packages of genes are absorbed into the cells around the blood vessels. That's the vascular endothelium. The packages open, the genes are released. Your body then gets to work reading these genes and manufacturing trillions and trillions of COVID spike proteins. Because even though you get 40 trillion genes, each gene can produce many, many COVID spike proteins. So, and the purpose of the spike proteins is that your body recognizes this as a foreign protein and will make antibodies against it so that you're then protected against COVID. That's the idea. But here's where the problem comes. In a virus, in a coronavirus, that spike protein becomes part of the viral capsule. In other words, around it's part of like the cell wall around the virus called the viral capsule. But it's not in a virus. It's in your cells. So it therefore becomes part of the cell wall of your vascular endothelium, which means these cells that line your blood vessels, which are supposed to be smooth so that your blood flows smoothly, now have these little spiky bits sticking out. So it is absolutely inevitable that blood clots will form because your blood platelets circulate around in your vessels. And the purpose of blood platelets is to detect a damaged vessel and block that vessel to stop bleeding. So when the platelet comes through the capillary, it suddenly hits all these little COVID spikes that are jutting into the inside of the vessel. It is absolutely inevitable that a blood clot will form to block that vessel. That's how platelets work. So just as
this could be is absolutely predicted to cause cancer because it's full of carcinogens. These spike proteins will predictably cause blood clots because of where they're in your blood vessels. It is guaranteed. Dr. Bogdi then said to me, the way to prove this is we need to do a blood test called a D-dimer test to find out if this is really happening. So the problem with the blood clots that we hear about through the media that they claim are very rare are the big blood clots. These are the ones that cause strokes and heart attack clots in your brain. Those are the ones that show up on CT scans and CT angiograms and MRIs. The clots I'm talking about are microscopic. These are tiny. They're literally on a capillary level, and they are scattered throughout your capillary network. So they are not going to show on any scan. They're just too small and too scattered. So the only way to find out for sure if this predictable mechanism of clotting was actually happening was to do this blood test called a D-dimer. And so the D-dimer is a blood test that shows a recent blood clot. It doesn't show anything else other than a recent blood clot. It won't show an old blood clot. It only shows new blood clots. And so I have been now doing that on my patients, finding people who have recently had their COVID shot within the previous 7 days. It needs to be between 4 and 7 days, and doing a blood test on them called a D-dimer. And so I'm still trying to accumulate more information, but on the ones I have so far, 62% of them have evidence of clotting, which means that these blood clots are not rare. It means that the majority of people are getting blood clots that they have no idea that they're even having. So, Laura Lynn, the most alarming thing about this is that there are some parts of your body, like your heart and your brain and your spinal cord and your lungs, which cannot regenerate. When those tissues are damaged by blocked vessels, they are permanently damaged. So I now have 6 people in my medical practice with what we call reduced effort tolerance, which means that they just get out of breath much more easily than they used to. I have one fellow that used to walk to my office every week for an arthritis injection, who told me that he could walk 2 miles without any problem. And now after a quarter of a mile, he is absolutely out of breath. And it has been like that for 5 months. So on the basis of this D-dimer test, which proves that the majority of people are clotting, these 6 people who now have reduced effort tolerance, literally what's happened to them is they've plugged up thousands of tiny capillaries in their lungs. And the terrifying thing about this is not just that these people are now short of breath and can't do what they used to be able to do, but once you block off a significant number of blood vessels through your lungs, your heart is now pumping against a much greater resistance to try and get the blood through your lungs. So that causes a condition called pulmonary artery hypertension. It's literally like blood pressure, high blood pressure in your lungs, because the blood can't get through because so many of the vessels are blocked. The terrifying thing of this is that people with pulmonary artery hypertension usually die of right-sided heart failure within 3 years. So the huge concern about this mechanism of injury is that these shots are causing permanent damage. And we haven't, and the worst is yet to come, because, you know, there are some tissues in your body like intestine and liver and kidneys that can regenerate to quite a good degree. But brain and spinal cord and heart muscle and lungs do not. When they're damaged, it's permanent. Like all these young people who are now getting myocarditis from these shots, they have permanently damaged hearts. It doesn't matter how mild it is, they will not be able to do what they used to be able to do, because heart muscle does not regenerate. So this is the terrifying concern. And not only is the long-term outlook very grim, but with each successive shot, the damage will add and add and add. It's going to be cumulative, because you're progressively getting more and more damaged capillaries.
That was Dr. Charles Hoff with Laura Lynn, and you can find that on ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net. 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 Breathing deeply in a candle burning strongly. This is a message that the New Zealand doctors, NZDSOS, sent out to New Zealanders, specifically the government, Big Pharma, and the media, the lamestream media of New Zealand. NZDSOS.com. Dear listeners, this is a letter from the New Zealand doctors, SOS.com. These doctors have another point of view that is not being published or discussed by mainstream media throughout New Zealand, and no doubt throughout our world. It's headed Death to the Deaths, July 22nd, 2021. Fellow Kiwis, this is a post that we have worried we would need to write once the evidence of death and serious injury from the Pfizer became clear enough and we could receive confirmation from various sources. That time is now. Everything that follows is the truth, as best as we can uncover it in these sinister times, from reports made to us and from our own investigations. Many concerned, passionate, and courageous ordinary heroes who are exhausted yet tireless, scared yet redoubtable, and furious yet focused are determined to rescue our beautiful country, and we thank them from the bottom of our hearts. Like us at New Zealand Doctors SOS, they probably never imagined in a million years they would be cast into this situation. Perhaps Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago should have been required reading at our schools. Thankfully, many Kiwis do talk to each other when bad things happen, and they are talking to us now. Get ready for the tragic consensus. We believe the toll of dead and injured is at least of the order of magnitude greater than we are being told. Yes, that's 10 times more. So rather than the couple of dead people the government grudgingly tells might just be related, out of a dozen or so death reports only the government claims to have received, we say that at least 40 human beings have died already, often suddenly and unexpectedly, suspiciously close to their vaccination. We know of another 80 probables and possibles where there is not enough information on timing, etc. Most of these cases are close enough that a proper investigation must be carried out, as befits the clinical trial that all recipients are part of. However, some uncertainties exist, of course, not least due to the forces apparently pre-aligned against proper reporting. Absolutely, some of these cases could turn out to be unrelated, but we know that few will be investigated properly, if at all, and not least because ACC, the Accident Compensation Commission, could be bankrupt overnight if the truth emerged, and the streets would be seething. Utes blocking our cities? You ain't seen nothing. Many of the injured feel fobbed off, but angry, and are shooting videos and photos. What ACC has really struck us in following up these reports is the climate of fear of speaking up amongst the shocked and the bereaved, and this is present in society generally. We would never disclose private details unless asked, of course, and many reports are made up by concerned friends and family without the knowledge of close relatives. This is unsurprising, given the control and suppression of social and intellectual discourse these days in favour of a single narrative. Social media has been so weaponized that bereaved parents might even continue to recommend vaccination out of the dread of losing their last remaining links to their support groups and a desperate need for their sacrifice to the greater good to be validated. All this whilst at their most vulnerable and raw, human psychology laid painfully bare. Based on the huge numbers of post-vaccine deaths reported in the US, Europe and the UK, now over 30,000, It is frankly ridiculous to imagine that our vaccine trial team of 5 million would not have to offer up its own casualties to Pfizer et al. So by extrapolation, we would have expected at least 20 deaths so far and have been warning the media, government and all MPs of this from the start. In fact, as we write this, a lawsuit has been filed against the CDC in America by an insider who claims a dramatic suppression of the true number, more likely 45,000, and this in the US alone. If accurate, and Hipkins has his way, then several hundreds of dead Kiwis and thousands of seriously harmed will give lie to the words safe and effective. Remember, we are doctors and have taken oaths. We have not made this stuff up. You couldn't anyway. It appears that the unwillingness and inability to investigate any deaths was baked into this rotten cake months ago. From the get-go, the CDC in the US knew that serious harms and deaths would result, and so would MedSafe have been aware. Tenders to software companies by the UK government before their rollout proved that it was expecting an avalanche of serious effects that would cause existing online systems to collapse. This is all now public domain information. In fact, our politicians and vaccinologists with zero training in forensic pathology, but expert only in cheerleading this particular vaccine come hell or high water, and with apparent superpowers of foresight and X-ray vision, are stating that deaths are unrelated, sometimes after only a few unseemingly days. Their apparent certainty is nauseating and extremely offensive. They are like a truculent child who screws his eyes shut to deny to itself that the milk is even spilt. It is doubtful that enough timely postmortems can happen to inform rapid inquests to prove absolute causation and to call a halt given the very convenient shortage of pathologists and coroners. We have been told and directly experienced that our monitoring systems are overwhelmed and underfunded. The Centre for Adverse Reaction Monitoring, CARM, C-A-R-M, is overloaded, and Healthline has written urgently to the Ministry of Health to report the unanticipated volume of reactions being reported. No reply so far, but this is our experience too of the Ministry of the only source of truth. So what do you do with this death and injury info? Well, if the media was in any way our proper fourth estate, they would be educating and informing and demanding accountability. But it no longer leads if it bleeds, or clots either. Sadly, even recently sympathetic commercial radio has been brought back into line. Our lawyers confirm we are absolutely entitled and morally compelled to raise an alarm so that those paid to respond may feel obligated to investigate or dismiss the information, at least. This is hard factual data that requires the time of the day from our bureaucrats and professionals. The morally corrupt and deniers will cry, conjecture, innuendo, smears, half-truths. Perhaps we are trying to scupper the imminent Super Vaxxer Stadium event in Auckland. Of up to 15,000 of our young, or the inaugural school's rollout intended for Whanganui to greet them next week, to greet them after their holidays. How many of these kids will be first told that the vaccine has killed over 30,000 people around the world, but true numbers will never be known? That the vaccine does not stay in the arm, as our leaders lied ridiculously, but concentrates in the ovaries, the brain, the heart, the bone marrow, etc. This may mean nothing, or a very nasty something. We just don't know. There is no data, but we have our suspicions. As do the government have their suspicions. that paramedics may need to follow up or report vaccine injuries so are prevented from doing so. That hospital doctors might need to access the vaccine record database to deal with blood clots or other cases, so this is made difficult for them. That there are conscientious, concerned hospital workers who should be dobbed in on a confidential phone line. That people may ask doctors if their stroke, heart attack or other illness or their loved one's death is related. So the medical council commands that we parrot the safe and effective mantra, hoping we will get in behind, abandon informed consent, look away and not function as society's early warning system for this experimental gene therapy. And finally, that doctors may be compelled to speak out. So we are. And by sending confidential messages and speaking to us directly, so are many others. We are grateful to them and to the public, the paramedics, nurses, allied health and administration staff in the health system, and emergency and frontline and military workers who are also bearing witness. Shame on everyone involved in pushing this illegal, unethical, experimental and frankly lethal injection with some seeming bizarre and undisclosed properties, especially into children and pregnant women. Doctors, start thinking for yourselves again. Are you in a trance? But the usual mantra is that the hypnotized do not do things that contravene an important moral principle. Maybe that is crap. So come on, Hipkins, and the rest of you also behaving like unconstructed, power-drunk autocrats, and instead of threatening us all, like the line you crossed on July 10th, 2021, with forced injections by any means necessary, like some Stalinist or Nazi jackbooted thug. Please do the job we pay you for. Open your eyes and look around, and reject the orders that have already killed some of us, no matter what the inducements offered to you or threats made. And if you don't, along with your tech dogs in the media and the apocryphal good people standing by doing nothing, may you look into your children's eyes and never have a restful night's sleep again. Come on, Kiwis, bloody wake up. Oh, and please check out International Ivermectin Day. It was on July the 24th to learn how we can get our old lives back if authorities were actually serious about ending this situation. So, dear people, dear listeners, there we have it. The 60 or so New Zealand doctors who follow the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. And you can get that on www.nzdsos.com. nzdsos.com. Note, SOS is short for Save Our Souls. Remember that, doctors. Remember that every human has a soul. Have you got that, politicians? Have you got that? This is Tim Lynch on GreenPlanetFMHere.com, and we carry on to the next unfoldment. And this is all about, essentially, the United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. Most people know nothing about it. I was fortunate to have a day off, so I joined and see what the groundswell, what that was all about. This was a week ago when farmers from all over New Zealand descended on their tractors and their utes with dogs in the back on all these little towns, as well as Auckland City in particular, a number of the largest cities in New Zealand. And the tractors, there were so many of them that they actually nearly gridlocked the whole cities and the towns, like the passionate French farmers who stand their ground and push back. They certainly have courage, because the New Zealand farmers, in their words, have had enough. Farmers are so upset with a whole lot of regulations, but with no communication, no consultation, no general discussion, that are coming out from this particular government, and of course a Labour government is nowhere near as sensitive to farmers' needs as the national government or the national party. And this is one of the things that I found out. A lot of the farmers thought, as long as we get rid of the Labor Party, we don't have to worry, because then the National Party will come in and take care of us. And that's where the problem lies. And fortunately, I've done some superb interviews with Heather Mary Pennycook and Rob Wilson of agriculturalactiongroup.org.nz down in Southland, in the same area where groundswellnz.co.nz come from. They are both based in Southland, which has turned into quite a substantial dairying area, and there's a huge difference between the two. The agriculturalactiongroup.co.nz are right on the ball. They know what's happening. They are positioning to educate people on what's happening in relationship to this United Nations Agenda 21 and 2030. Whereas the groundswell are still slogging it out, thinking that a change of government would solve everything. We are in a global movement at the moment, and I mentioned that. You can see this with COVID and the injections. It's all part of a global game plan. The pyramid of power at the top of the system is running the whole show, and the groundswell farmers need to get up to speed and get up to speed fast. Some of them had even taken the jab, the so-called vaccine. I was upset. Yes, there's SNAs being significant natural areas, and the local councils in the regions, particularly in the rural sector, have sent out letters to people who have land holdings with circles around on huge areas of their land, saying that this area is going to be designated an SNA, a significant natural area. This may be anything that you recognise needing protection. Some people had an area of gorse, but what has been said, it's a blatant land grab. That once this land is designated an SNA, you still have to pay rates on it, but you have to fence it off. You have to do the weed control, but you are not allowed to put animals on it or use it. And this is where the groundswell farmers need to get up to speed on this, because the United Nations and the global elite at the top of a pyramid of power are making their move now. They want to control the 7.8 billion human beings on this planet at the moment. And until we get serious and do our homework, disciplined homework, we're going to drop this ball and fumble this ball and look at a video and watch plenty of sport on TV, distract ourselves with Netflix, distract ourselves and not be conscious, when in actual fact, we as a humanity have to rise to the occasion. Because this is where it's all going. Unbeknown to us, we are a global family. And at many levels, we've been squabbling among ourselves. When in actual fact, we need to do the opposite. As previously mentioned, we are in a movement. We are in an evolutionary spiral. We are birthing ourselves into a new reality. We are in the birth canal to a new paradigm. And we've come up against some contractions, and it's messy and it's painful, but this is our destiny as well. However, there is another game going, and it has been in many ways secret. It's like you and I have not been invited, only the well-off, the elite, the politicians, etc., those in high-end business, they have got another plan at the moment. It's called the World Economic Forum. Switzerland, Davos, and the World Economic Forum. You would have seen pictures of Klaus Schwab, who is the officiator for this great reset. And we have been warned, we have been given a heads up many times. If anybody is faintly observant, we have been hearing stories about this all the time. We cannot make an excuse. This is the new world economic system that they're going to overlay our planet, and they're going to do it as fast as possible. It's all about a new digital currency, which means we eliminate cash and everybody will have a number. And with regard to the United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, we're going to be moving people off the land into smart cities, into 5G wireless cities, because they can control them more if they ring-fence the cities and the towns and have people away from the country. But there's going to be challenges around that solely because of food production. However, they're also looking at putting us on food that essentially manufactured. Like Bill Gates has got this particular food at the moment that he is producing that could be made from soya beans or maize, but will it be organic or genetically modified? And will it have life force in it? Though I'm not a meat eater myself, when people have a home kill on their farm or if they go out hunting and get a deer or a goat or a wild pig, that food, if they eat it that day and the next day, it's still got life force in. But what's happening at the moment is that the status quo, the controllers, the ones at the top, are wanting us to be subservient to them. And the farmers don't get it because they're going to be virtually driven off their farm if you don't get in and have a look at what this is all about. And when I did my interview with Heather Mary Pennycook, she was very, very clear. And if you want to go up greenplanetfm.com and have a look at this. Have a real clear look because it's all starting to tie in now. If you have no time to listen, read it. I've laid it out there pretty simple, easy to understand, and you'll see how tight our situation is as a humanity because we are leaderless at many levels. Solely because our education has dumbed us down to such a degree that we have become unskilled at being able to lead. The only people leading at the moment are alpha males and alpha females, and that's only because they've got this particular energy and power. But so what we really need now is true organizing skills, team player skills, diplomatic skills, or conflict resolution skills, or being able to direct a team and get in and with this team so that they can face an objective and complete whatever mission they need to do or whatever has to be accomplished. So this is really important. Now, getting back to World Economic Forum of Klaus Schwab from Davos and the Great Reset and the New World Order, at the start of this program, I played a little clip of what's happening in relationship to the Great Reset. And it's very important for you to be able to go up. You can use Google because they're right into it too. They're big time. They are part of a control mechanism with YouTube, I can assure you. But DuckDuckGo.com to see other videos that will be more critical for the World Economic Forum. Note that they've been working on this day and night and day and night with teams. Money's not an object, and it's been run by artificial intelligence. AI. And believe me, AI does not have a heart. There's no compassion. Believe me. In February of this year, our Deputy Prime Minister showed his colours and dug himself into a hole of his own making. This was an interview that was with Radio Magic's talkback show, and the host was Peter Williams, a very well-known New Zealander. And Peter said to Grant Robertson, the Minister of Finance, what's going to happen with the Great Reset? Because we are very near the time that they want to put this Great Reset in place. When the question was asked, boy, did the Minister of Finance react. He shut down the whole communication and he told Peter Williams that he'll never go back there again. And he said, the Great Reset and everything about it is a conspiracy theory. And to shut up about what was happening in Switzerland. However, in 2019, at Davos, the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister, Grant Robertson, spent time there. And our Prime Minister addressed the audience, mapping out, possibly, what the future of New Zealand was going to be. And you know, you've seen it all. Prince Charles has been there, Biden has been there, Kamala Harris has been there. There's been so many film stars and front people and even rock musicians and Tony Blair, so that should prick your ears up. But anyway, I'm just wanting to be able to cover that one because it's getting on to 2 o'clock in the morning and I've been here since lunchtime, 12. So I'm going to put a little soundtrack on that we gave a few sound bites at the start of this program on the Great Reset, on this new digital world that we are finding is surrounding us, which includes the Fourth Industrial Revolution. This is the 5G revolution. wireless technology that they haven't checked out the health effects one bit. They're going to have us living in a microwave oven. The wireless is going to affect us, our children, our pets, animals, trees, all of nature. And may I suggest that you go to a meeting, go up and join voicesforfreedom.co.nz. Voicesforfreedom.co.nz. If you want support and friends who are working for the betterment of New Zealand and our children, voicesforfreedom.co.nz. Better still, go and help them. Volunteer. They are all volunteers. And I'm just wanting to be able to give you a heads up, because there's also the issue of sovereignty here in this country. Personal sovereignty, and we are finding out that New Zealand is a corporation of the City of London. We've covered that. If you go to greenplanetfm.com and you look up on the slider, you will see Jacques Wendell. It's a very good introductory interview or overview of the fact that, yes, you and I are a chattel of the City of London. But in the meantime, I want to play this short video of the World Economic Forum from Davos in Switzerland. The Great Reset.
Here's a video of your future. If some people at the World Economic Forum get their way, they say you'll own nothing and be happy about it. Energy will be green, rationed, and expensive. And travel will be restricted. Even your diet will be controlled. And currency will be digital. This left-wing dystopian dream is called the Great Reset, and you're supposed to be excited about it. The Great Reset has been labeled a conspiracy theory, and even sounds like a conspiracy theory. But everything we know about it comes from the global elites themselves, who have been quite open about it.
This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a well-documented movement among many of the world's most powerful people.
Justin Haskins is a leading authority on the Great Reset.
Fundamentally, this is a radical and complete transformation of everything that we do in our society to control people's behaviors, to control businesses, and to move society in the direction that you want to move it. It will change the way businesses are evaluated. It'll coerce businesses to pursue left-wing causes.
The Great Reset was unveiled at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where many of the world's most powerful people go to offer solutions to the world's problems. And the World Economic Forum sees the coronavirus pandemic as a historic opportunity to change the way the world operates.
Right now we're facing a crisis of international proportion. It's going to have long-term impact for us.
Their solution is essentially global socialism. Think of the Green New Deal combined with the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, and throw in something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, in which technology is supposed to radically change the way we live and work. Klaus Schwab is the founder of the World Economic Forum.
What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
It has the support not only of world leaders, but of global corporations like MasterCard and BP, brought to you by people who think they know what's best for you.
By giving the elites, the technocrats in society, the most educated people, the ability to manipulate society, pull the levers in society, and manage and manipulate society so that it's, in their minds, perfect.
But a Trump re-election would blow a massive hole in the Great Reset. 1 week before the election, Italian Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano wrote an open letter to the president, warning him that the Great Reset is inhuman, faceless tyranny that seeks to subdue all of humanity, and that President Trump and the United States are the wall against the deep state, the final assault of the children of darkness.
Over the past 4 years, Donald Trump has been the single greatest roadblock for people who are pushing this internationalist, globalist sort of agenda.
The elites at Davos are now counting on a Biden victory for their Great Reset to go forward. The World Economic Forum and the Biden campaign even share the same slogan, Build Back Better.
To build back better.
It's also a phrase you've heard being used by Justin Trudeau, by the Pope, by the Prince of Wales, and by leaders around the world.
English journalist and author James Dellingpole.
You'd be amazed by how many world leaders are on board with this globalist plan, even people that claim to be conservative. This is worse than Nazism. This is worse than communism. This is worse than fascism. These guys are planning on taking over the whole world.
We'll hear more about the Great Reset when the World Economic Forum meets again in January. And whether he's in the White House or not, Donald Trump is expected to be a force, which could remain a problem for the hopeful backers of the Great Reset. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Well, as you know, it's 9 months since that election that many pundits will say was stolen from Trump. So we just don't know what's going to happen. We trust that truth and the law of rule prevails. But the Great Reset wants to bring about transhumanism. The big trap is the transhumanist agenda, the machine agenda. There is no mention of heart, love, and spirit, or soul.
Klaus Schwab is the founder of the World Economic Forum.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Yes, he gives the game away. No love. And there's another little gem that I want to be able to offer up, and that is the fact that we are spiritual beings having an earth experience, and we have been programmed and denied the learning around us. Hence, people who have out-of-the-body or near-death experiences show that in actual fact what all the old religions have told us, going not only to Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, Taoism, that we all actually have an essence or a soul or a spiritual body. And so this is very important, because a lot of people now feel as if they're really being hemmed in. Since the lockdown last year, they have in so many ways found themselves in a very tight situation and thinking, oh gosh, there's no future for us. I can assure you, there's a profound future awaiting for all of us if we recognize our heart, be courageous, be honest. And on greenplanetfm.com, I have a number of interviews around the soul, and also of a neurosurgeon, an atheist neurosurgeon from the United States of America, who had a near-death experience. And when he came back, after a week away, when he came back, he was a totally different human being. What he saw beyond the veil, on other planes, on other dimensions, in other realms, turned them and flipped them right around. So believe me, don't feel depressed and that there is no future for you. Believe me, there is a wonderful future for all of us, as long as we stick to love, as long as we be honest, as long as we're prepared to care, as eternal life awaits us. Yes. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.